Well, many of you know my friend Jan, so it probably bears little introduction, but I want to ask Jan to come up and give thanks for a man who has poured so much into our lives. Kristen and I are grateful for how much our life and ministry has been accelerated by what the Lord has done with this man, and we're praying that the same happens for you. So I'm going to pray for him as he comes up to preach. Father, would you pour out your power? Would you bring peace to Jan's heart today that he might speak the words given by your Spirit that we might receive from your hand? And may you be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
There you go.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. How are you? I love your weather. Yeah, I will be gone before it gets serious. I like it just the little beginnings of the cold. I said to them last night, I don't like putting on jackets, putting off jackets, and I don't come from that sort of world. I've lived in Africa all my life, and now have been in Thailand for 12 years, and Thailand's hot. So it gets a little confusing when you say 32, I think hot, because we calibrate in a different way. We Celsius, you're Fahrenheit. So 32 here, I said to them last night, man, I love this weather because you stay in something warm. It's like you being blanched. You know what blanched means, right? You get cooked first and you walk outside and you get nice and cold. And so I sort of feel crispy, you know. Privilege to speak to you. It's a privilege to share the word of God always. As I was waiting on the Lord last night for specifics of what he wanted to say, I know what he wanted to say, but I want to get the specifics. I really felt that I needed to start not where I thought I was going to start, but in another place. I want to say the value I place on having been born again can never be measured. I started out as a young man in a total mess, 21 years old. I already was married for 2 years and had a child and was just about to get divorced. And in that mess, I met the Lord Jesus Christ. And I really never ever thought about becoming a Christian because to me, Christians were wimps. You know what a wimp is?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So Christians looked to me like they were always these weak, sort of blabbering beings that never sort of had any direction. My wife has got a wonderful saying. She's Thai, and she's got a wonderful saying. She says, Yanni, we must never stand on other people's legs. We must stand on our own. And Christians, to me, looked like people who always stood on somebody else's legs. They didn't seem to have some backbone. And then I got born again, and I found out I'd entered into a world which was one of the most powerful worlds I'd ever experienced. It was a world where you had to become a person. You had to become a man. To serve Christ meant I had to walk in a way that was not normal to me. I had to stop what came naturally. Actually, I found out I had to die. And that process of being changed into the image of Jesus does not happen instantly, actually. You get born again, you immediately become what is called justified. He justifies us. He declares us as righteous. It's an incredible point that I don't have to work for that. He died in my place because he loved me. And he gave me, at the moment I'm born again, I get eternal life. We don't one day get eternal life. We step into eternal life the moment we get born again. He who has the Son has life. And so the moment that I started to walk in that, I realized even though I was justified, I had to become sanctified. So I had to become what I was. Do you understand? Now God declares me righteous. Now he has to make me righteous. And so now there starts a work on my being, which was, I mean, you had to be really tough at times. You know, God tells you to stop lying. I read the word of God in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, and there it says to me, you better stop lying. God hates a liar. I mean, I lied about everything. Of course. I mean, you know, you got to get into trouble. Why would you want to tell the truth? Figure a way of ducking it. And so there started the process of being changed. I'll talk about that a little more later. How long have I got? Please tell me when I... 10 minutes, right? No. No, what I mean is 10 minutes before I have to stop. Okay. Somebody put their hands up and tell me. Okay, I don't want to go too long. I'm waiting for this baptism stuff. It's going to be really fun. Amen. So if you're here today and you've never really considered Christianity, I want to tell you it is one of the most amazing journeys you can ever be on. 45 years later, nearly. I'm not 66. I'm 64. I'm young. In South Africa, in our language, when you're an old person, they call you an old top. And I've been called an old top by one person. And I said to him, you better run before I slap you. I'll show you who's an old top. If you're a peace-loving person, I apologize. And so the whole process of sanctification is a lifetime. But one day, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, this mortal would put on immortality. There's going to be a resurrection. And then I'm going to be glorified, justified, sanctified, glorified. One day, there'll be no more sickness. There will be no more battling to get out of the bed because your back's sore. If you know what I'm talking about, wave your hand. Make me feel better. I tried to get out of bed this morning. My leg was flicking over and over. I just couldn't get the momentum to get my head up, if you know what I mean. In the process, I kicked the cupboard that's in the room because I forgot where I was. I'm always somewhere else. You know, traveling the world, it's just the way it is. But where I'm going to is this, that we don't only experience glory when we get there. The whole object of the exercise that when we get born again is that we start to experience Jesus every day of our life. Amen. That it is not as though there's headquarters up there somewhere, God's up there having a good time, I'm down here having a tough time. It's not like that. He is within me. Galatians 2:20 says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. I found out that the way life used to go, I used to have things that made me feel better. I had ways of entertaining myself before I was born again. Particularly that. I never took drugs, thank God, and I've never smoked. But man, I have drunk. At 14 years old, I was an alcoholic already. I already had big trouble on my hands. I would drink, on New Year's Eve, we drank a crate of beers, which is 24 beers, one person. I have multiple accidents that never put me in hospital, actually, thank God, never killed anybody. But my life was heading down a tube very fast. And then all of a sudden, I met the one who died to save my soul. And I, I stepped into that position of receiving him as my Lord and Savior. I didn't feel anything. Some people talk about the grass is greener, the sky is bluer. It didn't happen to me. I got born again and I just suddenly found that something had happened supernaturally to me as a person. I used to swear, I could swear the wallpaper of a wall easy. Every sentence had a swear word. When I got excited, I swore filthy words. And I got born again, and instantly, my mouth was cleaned up. I mean, it was a miracle. I would love to say no bad word ever came out again, but it did, unfortunately. Every now and again, something pops out that I didn't mean to. Please say amen, I understand you. You're looking at me like I'm this dirty old pastor. But there it came, this incredible process of change. And I uncovered one of the most beautiful things that humans can ever find or experience. I uncovered the fact that he makes his presence known. You actually have him manifest himself in your presence. You feel he's here. This morning we were singing, and as Father Dan says, the atmosphere changed. I know that my Redeemer lives, and I'll stand with him on that day. To know the presence of God is the most powerful thing. There have been many times that I've been in great turmoil, I've been in great pain, I've been in great need. And he has showed up and done miracles. In fact, my wife and I live in the miraculous every day of our life. We trust God for everything we get. We have no support system that we can say, that's mine, I can call on that. We just have a God that hears us and responds to us, does miracles. I don't want to get into all that. I don't have the time. But knowing the presence of God in a world where there is absolute turmoil, where the whole world is shaking, to be able to be in a position where no matter what's going on around you, you are at perfect peace. No matter what's happening circumstantially to you, you're solid and you're safe. There was such a man in the Bible, the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 10. It's a man called John who was on the Isle of Patmos for his faith. Patmos was a little island just to the west of Turkey. It still is. I think it's 50 miles from Ephesus in the Aegean Sea. And this man had been sent there because he was a political and social outcast. He irritated everybody. He was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he was one of the inner three, Peter, James, and John. At 90 years old plus, this guy cannot be subdued. So they exile him to Patmos. Sitting on the island, here is what he says in verse 10. I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What does that mean? It means he was caught into another realm. As Christians, we have the distinct privilege of experiencing another realm. We don't have to live on the natural realm. In fact, God's plan is to get his super on our natural. God's plan is to make us outstanding human beings that do things for others and trust him for miraculous works day in and day out, that we are literally his plan for this earth. That he can work through us and touch others and impact them. That we can pray for people and watch them get healed. I told the congregation I like when I get a chance to pop into pubs. You know what a pub is?
Yes.
Don't get irritated with me now. Jesus didn't, listen, I'm a friend with Jesus. You know that. Because Jesus seemed to hang around with publicans and sinners. Why is it that when we think we get born again, we think we can never again reach out to people who aren't born again? I want to warn you quickly and say it's not a great idea to go where God never told you to go. So don't say Pastor Jan said it's good to go to a pub, so I'm going to go there. I never said that. All right? But he was in a realm that suddenly three things happened. First, he heard. Second, he saw. And third, he felt. When you're in that realm, you see what no one else can see. You know what no one else can know. God uses us in things like words of knowledge, prophecy. God uses us in sending power to people and seeing them healed and delivered. I've had the joy over all the years of my ministry, watching people see when they could never see, hear when they could never hear, who have heart trouble get instantly healed. I was in Portsmouth in Southampton, 1986. And God had told me that I was going to meet a man who had heart palpitations and that he thought he was going to die. And that when I saw him, I was going to pray for him, he was going to get healed. I waited 6 months for that man. Got into the pulpit. They obviously didn't know who I was. They didn't introduce me properly. So they said, we've got a man from Africa here. He's going to preach today. Welcome, man from Africa. I mean, not like Dan. Dan gets up and tells everybody how amazing I am. They just go, there's this guy who's going to preach. We probably thinking we hope for the best. So I get up, and as I get into the pulpit, the Lord says he's here. Praise God. End of 6 months. I said, okay, there's a person in the room here who has these feelings. Your heart does this and this and this. And you think you're going to die. And the Lord wants to heal you right now. I said, if that's you, get up and come forward. So this guy jumps out of his seat at the back of the church, comes sprinting up the corridor aisle. I'm not good with these words. And so as he comes running up, I pointed at him and said, be healed in Jesus' name. And the power of God hits him, and he plows into the carpet, down, out.
Safe.
Is that baseball?
Yes.
You guys have got sports that we don't understand at all. We play rugby, a man's game, you know? By the way, my country has just won the World Cup. Yes. South Africa. So, don't leave, it's not embarrassing. Jesus. Okay, I'm going to try and calm down, all right? I'm going to try. I'm getting wound up here. So he hits the floor and he's out, healed instantly by the power of God. And I say, good morning, everybody. My name is Jan Nel. I come from South Africa. So that's the best introduction I've ever had in my life. In the spirit on the Lord's day. We're supposed to be in a place daily where your circumstances do not affect you. When those bills arrive and you know, man, I can't pay these things. There's a realm where you're able to get peace and joy and victory. There's a realm where you can behave in a way that will change your circumstances like this. Psalm 47 verse 1 is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. That's not after you get a victory. That's before you get a victory. See, there's a realm that natural human beings don't understand. And this great apostle entered into that realm, and as he did, he heard the voice of the Lord himself. And then he turned around and he saw him. He saw what no human can see. He saw Jesus with hair like wool, a golden sash around him. And he was touched. Saw, heard, touched. As he was touched, he fell as a dead man. I've been in that realm often, where God shows up and he touches people and they will never be the same again. He shows you things. He speaks to you about things. He reveals things. I don't know why my mouth keeps dripping with water. The whole weekend, every time I talk, I've got drip coming out of me. If, honey, I like you. Sister, I like you. I just have an answer for things that don't look good, that's all. And so being in the Spirit on the Lord's day is our privilege. And I want to tell you something. God plans that you and I are able to be people that live above the circumstances. God wants us to be people that have a supernatural area that we can go into, where his presence changes everything that's going on. Where others fear, you're at peace. The Spirit of the Lord. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I want to say the first thing that's going to help you to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day is that you're a person that burns with love for other people. Burns with love for other people. If you want to have God work with you, you have to work with the things that God loves. God loves people. I don't know about you, but I found people fit into various classes in my human understanding. Some people are such pains, I don't want to ever be near them. Please say you understand. Especially on the road when you're driving. You know what I mean? Okay, don't get excited now. Just relax a little bit. I don't want to bring back all those memories. So, the first thing we have to do is have this heart that says, I will do anything for people to be touched by God. I'm married to a woman that has demonstrated the love of God more than any other person I know. I remember one day when we were really financially in a lot of trouble. We had many things to pay. We were in the middle of all types of stuff. And she said to me the one day, Yanni, I feel like we need to go to the mountains to the people who are poor. And we need to give them food and clothing. I hear that people are dying up in the north of Thailand. For the first time, the cold has been so extreme that old people have no clothes. They don't have anything to shield themselves from the cold. They're dying. Many of them are dying. And we need to do something about it. Well, this was the second time she had pulled this move on me. And I knew better than to argue. And so we got in our vehicle and we went to the north with nothing. Nothing. No food, no clothing. But when we arrived at the place we were going to stay for the night, I looked at my bank account and I'd had money deposited enough for us to buy piles of clothing and food and all the rest. And we drove into the village. I'll never forget that day. We drove into the village. We had a Christian meet us and take us to the village. And as we drove into that village, old people had heard we were coming. And they were sitting all around the area where we were going to stay for the night. It was the most moving sight. There were kids everywhere. And we unpacked and started to give these people, old people. They were Karen people. You know, the Karen people are the women that wear rings around their necks and look like giraffes. Those people. And they came, and I could not stop crying. For the first time in my life, I saw what real love was. That no matter what it takes, we're going to do something for these people. Not Christian talk, but a burning love. It says, man, you're dying in hospital from cancer, I'm coming to see you. We don't talk the talk, we walk the talk. If you want God to move on your behalf in an incredible way, you've got to be willing to do the things that Jesus would do. Find those who have no hope.